Welcome on Seaver Podcast. In this podcast, we will introduce the CFIT and CFIT Pulse and ECG Belt, all new devices which monitor the horse's health and performance. At Seaver, we imagine and develop technology so that the health and wellness of horses always remain at the heart of the rider's commitment. We believe that being able to back up one's riding feeling with concrete data provided by technology can only strengthen the link between a rider and his horse. Do ECG, fitness shape test, or performance V140 on V220 seem particularly technical to you? Do you ever feel a bit lost when assessing the evolution of your horse from one training session to another? Then, listening to this podcast is warmly recommended. In the next couple of episodes, we will focus on various topics such as understanding the energy used by your horse in training, checking his trot symmetry, detecting a cardiac irregularity, measuring the stress level of the horse, or figuring out how to use Seaver technology on a daily basis. Have a great listening! In today's episode, we're going to talk about the jump work. Many riders do not work in terms of number of fences jumped. They keep going until they get the perfect jump, and often they do not realize how many jumps they met during the session. As a result, Seaver decided to give riders the possibility to monitor and analyze their jumping session down to the smallest details. The first data that will be available after your training session will be the total number of fences you have jumped, as well as their average and maximum height. Please note that the height data obtained correspond to the position of the girths in comparison to the ground and not the actual height of the fence. Why is this so relevant to look at this data? The point of this data is to quantify the effort provided by the horse. The height of the jump is, of course, not the only relevant data, but it does give a good indication on the energy required by the horse to rise and jump the face, and it also enables riders, as they usually know the approximate height of the fence, to understand their horse's jumping habits and capacities. You will also be provided some data about the angle and amplitude of the jump. Generally speaking, the angle will be smaller for an oxer, a triple bars fence, or a water jump than for a vertical, for example. The angle also depends on the height of the jump compared to that of your horse, and the spot of the horse's takeoff stride. The closer he will come to the fence, the bigger the jump angle will be. In addition to the jump height and the angle when taking off, Seaver measures for each jump its amplitude, that is to say the distance between the hind limbs when taking off and the forelimbs when landing. This amplitude, which means the distance on the ground, allows you to have a better take of your horse's trajectory in order to adapt it at best and to be more comfortable in combination or lines, for example. Let's now talk about another feature available in Seaver's technology, the cadence in approach. The regularity of the strides when approaching a fence and the absence of break in rhythm, for example, are important elements to qualify the quality of the approach. We measure the cadence on the last 5 strides and also determine if the cadence is stable, increasing, or decreasing on these last strides. Well, the important thing is obviously regularity, but it also depends on your goal. We may wish to approach a fence with an increasing or a decreasing cadence depending on what we're working on and what's coming after the jump. Thus, we may have approached an oxer with an increasing stride, that is to say by covering an increasing distance at each stride, but with a decreasing cadence, each stride lasts longer and longer. On Seaver application, you will find plenty other data that you can analyze. The push, for example, which is the propulsion calculated by the device. The takeoff speed. This measures the speed reached by the horse during the ascending phase of the jump. The shift in jump, which is maybe one of the most important features. This measures in degrees of angle the shift, that is to say the difference between spatial orientation when taking off and when landing. This measure does not reflect the perpendicularity to the fence, but it does measure the straightness of the jump. When a horse often shifts before and during the jump, there can be many reasons that can cause such a shift. This can be an asymmetrical rider in a seat, his leg or hands, an apprehension of the landing, can be some pain or discomfort in a hind limb or back, or simply a natural dissymmetry of the horse. A young horse, for instance, will often shift by a simple lack of straightness, but we must always try to minimize the shift values. Finally, the application will also provide some data about the hind limb's push symmetry and also the energy absorbed at landing. Eventually, a summary of the session is provided at the end of your training. On this very page, you will find the average and maximum jump data, thus you can get an overview of the jumping session. To complete this short episode, we have invited the show jumper Sirin Sherif to be our guest. With Sirin, we tried to understand what is a perfect jump. Here is our conversation.
Hello, Sirin. Thanks a lot for accepting to be our guest today. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the right jump. So just for starters, maybe, can you introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do in your life?
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to do this interview. So my name is Sirin. I'm a show jumping rider based in Qatar. I've been living here for the past 10 years. And I've been riding for the stable of Al Shagab and also private owners here. So yeah, that's a little description of me.
Okay, thanks a lot. So just as a first question, I'd like to ask you, what is a good or right jump for you? According to you, what's the right jump?
So for me, the right jump is when your horse is straight, when your horse is relaxed, that is using his whole body correctly from the neck to the tail, lifting the wither up, yeah, that you stay in control before and after the jump. Like you need to feel that your horse is just not running away after the jump. I think it's just part of the jump for me as well. And yeah, that you feel your horse is really using his whole body.
And when you're on the saddle, when you're riding, what is the feeling that you should receive from this jump? Like, what do you feel on the saddle?
Well, I guess you should feel, first of all, comfortable for you, and that you should feel also your horse feeling comfortable jumping. You should feel in balance and, I guess, in control as well. I would say, yeah, these are the feelings that I'm looking for in a jump.
Okay. You know, we always tend to say that we have to make sure that a horse jumps straight, jumps linear. But why is this so important to make sure that the horse stays on the straight line and does not shift when taking off?
On the jump and on the landing, I think it's necessary to have a straight horse in order to use all of its strength and muscle potential. Manifold result from shifting the jump to the left or to the right. Let's say there's a lot of, if you had the show and you drop a fence or something, it comes a lot also from the fact that the horse is not straight, you know, and that the propulsion is done only from a single leg. And also, it can really affect the physical side of the horse when it jumps all the time not straight, because he compensates on one leg, and the problem is overusing one leg all the time can have problems, probably having the horse getting injured or anything. So I think first on the quality of the jump and the fact that you must clear the jump, you first need to jump in a straight way for sure, to use the full potential of the horse, and also not to have an overused horse on one side or the other.
Sure. And when you realize or when you register that a horse always or often shifts over the jump to one side, what can be the cause?
Well, as I said earlier, probably, you know, he can be in pain, first of all, from one side more than the other. So he's compensating on one side more than the other. The second cause can be the rider, which is actually most of the time. The rider twisting himself over the jump, or the rider not really in balance on his horse, pulling on one side more than the other. So I think, probably the first cause would be this. And also the horse can be also stronger on one side than the other. So he would use only the strong side and kind of forget a little bit of the other side, you know.
Okay. When you ride and train your horse for jumping sessions, do you pay attention in the end to the number of jumps you've done over the training?
Actually, I don't really count my jumps, but I'm looking more at the condition of my horse and how he is evolving on the session. So it can happen that I do very few jumps, but the horse is doing very good. So I'm just going to stop because there is no need to do more jumps. Or I will just keep going. You know, it depends really on the condition of my horse. If I see my horse sweating and really being tired and still I didn't get what I want, I will stop anyway and I will do another session the day after because I don't want to overuse him. So I just think it depends. I'm looking more at the condition of my horse and the response for him rather than really the number of jumps, you know. Okay, if I'm in a warm-up at the show, it's going to be always kind of the same number of jumps, you know. I'm going to do four jumps on a vertical, four jumps on an oxer, one time left, one time right. So, it would be... And it will also depends on the height that you're doing at the show. If you're doing 1 meter class, you're not going to jump as many jumps as if you're doing a 1 meter 45 class, you know? So I just think it depends.
Okay. I'd like to talk now about the approaching speed. You know, it's a feature that's included on CIVA app and available with CIVA devices. And I would like to ask you, should the approaching speed be stable or increasing or decreasing for you?
Well, on a normal jump, it should be stable. You should take your rhythm from far and then get the same rhythm until the end, you know, and not just pushing the last stride or just pulling at the last minute to add a stride. But you would sometimes need to have decreasing approach because it can be interesting. For example, if you want to turn very short after the landing of a fence, or if you want to enter a combination with a double or a triple that is short inside, then you will approach in a decreasing way. If you have a very large obstacle like the pool or anything, then you will use the increasing approach. So, you know, it depends. But in general, for sure, if you approach just a single fence, a normal fence, or if you're working at home and everything, the thing that you're looking for is a stable approach where you get to say the good rhythm from far, and that you can get this, that you can keep this rhythm until the end and throughout your exercise, you know?
Yeah, sure. I would like to ask you, according to you, how can technologies such as CIVAs help the rider train and improve?
I think CIVA is a great tool to help you manage your sessions as well. So, for example, seeing the number of jumps. Okay, for me, I don't count my jumps. So for me, it was interesting when I used CIVA to see how many jumps I'm doing in general in a training session. Also at the show, how many jumps I do in the warm-up, well, which is almost all the time the same, but it was still interesting. I think it's still interesting with Siver to have this feature. It can also improve to see how many times, for example, as I said, if you have a training session and you're looking for a stable approach, how many times you're capable of coming in a stable approach, you know, and then comparing each session all the time and seeing your improvement as per this, you know, seeing, oh, okay, this time I could do only two stable approach. Oh, the next time I'm going to try to do as much more than this, you know, and then you try to improve and be more and more stable in your approach, you know. So I think, yeah, this is great as well. Seeing also the height, how much your horse is above the jump. Is he over jumping? Is he not jumping enough over the jump? So, yeah, I think all those features are interesting to see and be a tool for your training, to assist in your training, you know.
Sure. I have one last question for you. I know you share a lot of exercises and patterns on your social networks and on your blogs, the Show Jumping blog, but I would like to ask you, is there any special exercise that you like to do to rectify some very basic issues, such as a horse taking speed before jumps, for example?
Yeah, sure. They're very simple exercises that you can do. Simply by putting two parallel poles before the jump and after the jump. This is one simple one. If the horse is shifting from one side to the other. Otherwise, there is another one, but I recommend that you're doing really, you need to do this assisted by a trainer, is when you put two poles on the fence and that they're parallel to each other. But I would say that it would be more than enough to put them on the ground parallel to each other and perpendicular to the fence. I hope that you picture it a little bit with my words. Just to keep the horse in line before the fence and after the fence. And the best is to use those flexi jump, you know, that are soft. In case the horse lands on it, he doesn't hurt himself. But if you don't have it, it's also okay to use normal poles. As for the speed of the horse before the jump, I have a lot of people actually asking me, my horse is running away before the jump and after the jump, what can I do? So I have also a really simple exercise. You can just put two cones before and after the jump, let's say 10 meters, let's say two strides before the jump and let's say three strides after the jump. So when you go between those cones, you just simply stop your horse. So you do this couple of times before the jump, stopping your horse two strides before. Don't stop your horse right in front of the fence, because then it will just teach them to stop in front of the fence. Just stop two, three strides before, just for them to understand that they have to wait for you. They have to wait for your command. Maybe we're going, maybe we're stopping. And then you will see that after a couple of times, your horse will just wait for you and will stop running away. So just try to do this couple of times in your sessions until you don't have these problems anymore. And after the jump, it's actually something I actually do all the time, stopping my horse after the jump, just to teach them to wait for you after the jump and just not run away and take the bit and take your hand and just, you know, run away. I think a lot of people have problems with that. So there's those two simple exercises, just stop before, stop after, and you will see that doing this couple of times will change a lot of things.
Okay, I think it's a wrap. Thank you, Serene. Thanks a lot for this episode and for your information and advice. I wish you a lot of luck for this season.
Thank you so much. You're most welcome. It was my pleasure.
If you want to dive further into Siver technology, if you're looking forward to purchasing one of our devices, or if you just wish to learn more about horses' wellness and performance, visit our website and follow us on social networks. See you soon.